Morning. I'm Vic Walter, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to worship this morning, including those on live stream who join us in that way, and especially visitors who are worshipping with us. Welcome to you. We have not a lot of things to celebrate over the last couple of weeks, but one special thing I thought of was Murray and Edith, who joined us a couple of weeks ago for service here, Murray and Edith Thomas. And they were involved with the ministry to the Aboriginal people that were here 20 years ago, using our facility. And when we had our celebration of 180 years of the Maya school, since the Maya school was started at Yilkey, Murray and Edith joined us then for that worship, for that celebration, and it was such a pleasure for those that were gathered here, that were with Murray in those times way back, to see them at worship. And we were blessed, Helen and I, to have Murray and Edith on our farm this last week for a day to spend time with us out there and have them there for our lunch and fellowship together. So having Murray and Edith in our presence here over the last couple of weeks has been a special time for us and I think for our congregation. Also, the week ahead, we have Messy Church this afternoon, a special Messy Church making things for the pageant, as a peace pageant, and there'll be all sorts of things made by the young people and those helping. So we ask that all that be done in this afternoon with our Messy Church be to God's glory. Our Welcome Pack Information Night for team building is here on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So all those that are interested in the Welcome Pack program that we are getting funding for through our LCA, please come along Tuesday night to get to. We hope a team will be formed there to lead that program and get it underway. So I think Pastor Nigel will be leading that information night. So please, if your heart is in contacting those that are new to our Victor Harbour area, come along then and see where you might fit into that program. So if you want to find out any more information, please turn to our community news or scan the QR code that's up on the screen there at the moment or join our mail out list. See Marg in the office if you want to do that. So we turn to our worship, the call to worship, and I'd like to read to you the first couple of verses of Psalm 146, which is our psalm for this weekend. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. And we're gathered here together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We come into your presence, dear Lord, with a hopeful expectation that we will learn more of your love for us as revealed to us in Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit rest on this gathering, that by the power of your Holy Spirit working in us, this will be a blessed and special time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand for our first song together. What a beautiful name. Thanks, Derek.
Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Truth revealed, my future sealed, healed my pain. Love and freedom, life and warmth, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Last verse. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Rescued my soul, my stronghold, lifts me from shame. Forgiveness, security, power, and love, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Forgiveness, security, power, and love, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Forgiveness, security, power, and love, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name.
Well, good morning, everybody. What a joy it is to know that we have a chance to celebrate Jesus as the name above all names, the most beautiful name, every time we gather together for worship. Welcome to the visitors who are with us today from near and far. Great to have you with us too. It's amazing to think that in 6 weeks' time, we will be celebrating and remembering how the one with the most beautiful name was born in Bethlehem to be our Saviour. It's not long now, only 6 weeks until we celebrate Christmas. I could see some eyes going, what? Christmas already? It's that close, 6 weeks. And we should realise that because last Saturday, in Adelaide, they had the Adelaide Christmas pageant, which is always one of those reminders to us that Christmas isn't far away. This afternoon we've got our Messy Church Peace Pageant, which Vic mentioned before. And then on the 14th of December we have our very own Victor Harbour Christmas Pageant. And I'm really looking forward to being involved in that this year together with Christians from across our region. I'd invite you, regardless of your age or stage in life, to consider being part of the Combined Church's Christmas Pageant presentation this year. Often pageants give us a bit of a reminder. Christmas is coming. Who do I need to buy presents for this year? Do you ever find yourself getting to this time of year and start thinking, what do I get my husband or wife for Christmas? Or what do I get my nephews or nieces for Christmas? Or what do I get my mum and dad for Christmas? And you scratch your head and you think, I don't know, they've got everything they need. What else could I possibly give them? It's so easy for you and I to go about our life wrestling about what can we give to show our love and grace to others. What if this Christmas we said to ourselves, instead of buying random presents for our loved ones to show them our love, what if we used what we were going to give to buy a gift to actually give a gift to someone who needs it. And on your seats today throughout the church, you will have found the Gifts of Grace brochure, a brochure put out by Australian Lutheran World Service, which is filled with ideas about gifts that you could buy in the name of your loved ones. The gift then goes to the people who can make the most use of it. People who are in poverty, people who need a leg up, people who with one little gift, it might just turn their lives around. And the beautiful thing about ordering gifts this way for our family and friends is if we order them by the 3rd of December, you'll receive these lovely little cards back that you can then give to your friends as a gift at Christmas time. And in it, they will know exactly the gift that you purchased for them and the fact that it is helping someone else around the world. So I invite you, as you prepare for Christmas and as you consider the pageants that are coming up soon, and as that puts pressure on you to think about your gift giving, think about the type of gift you can give that's going to make the biggest difference to others. There's my little ThinkSpot advert for today. But right now, of course, we've come to hear God's word today. And today we're going to hear about two widows who haven't got much to give. In fact, they're living in poverty. One has the last rations of food, the other her last coins. And you will hear in this word today how they trusted that God would care for them, how God would provide for them. And we see them stepping out in faith, giving, trusting in God's purposes that he will care for them. And I pray that today as we worship together, that the stories we hear from the word may inspire us to consider the why and how we give and how we share. So may God bless our hearing of the word today.
Reading from 1 Kings 17. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord our God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me for what you have and bring it to, of what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And from Mark 12, as he taught, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And when there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to life.
Let us pray for the offering. Thank you, God, that through Jesus we can come to you. Remind us that you have saved us and care for us so that we can generously give to others as you have given to us. Amen. And we pray for Pastor Nigel. Dear Lord, thank you for Pastor Nigel and his love for you and your word. We pray a blessing on this gathering and Pastor's message, that your Holy Spirit work in and through the words of Pastor to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, friends, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got a question for you to start our message today. If you had your last $50 and that's all you had left, what would you spend it on? What would you spend it on? I invite you just to turn to the people next to you and just have a chat for a moment and share your initial thoughts with them. If you had only your last $50 and that's all you had, what would you spend it on? Take a moment and have that chat with each other. How are you going there? You got a few ideas about how you would spend your last $50 if that's all you had left? Well, Amelia's got the microphone. And she's going to run around to anyone who puts their hand up so we can hear from you. What would you spend your last $50 on if you only had $50 left? Who would like to share their response?
Bread and cheese. Cheap cheese, probably.
Down the front.
I'd buy some seeds for food.
Ooh. Buy some seeds. Brilliant. Good answer. Other ideas? What did you share? One over here.
I would buy food and I would be thankful that God will just keep giving like he did in the reading today.
Thank you, Marlene. Yes. And trust that God will keep giving along the way. Down the back.
To share a meal with somebody that hasn't got much to support themselves.
It's very kind. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Your last $50. I think there's someone over this way who's got an idea. No? Okay, I'll park it there. Thank you, Millie, for running around just to get a few ideas there. Last $50. It would be a tricky one, wouldn't it, to know what to do? There's a little bit of wisdom in this room, though, today, I hear. Notice none of you would go down and find yourself... Actually, you can't buy a carton of beer for $50 anymore, can you? You could buy a couple of bottles of the commemorative 40th anniversary church wine, couldn't you? But what are they going for? How many would you get for $50, John?
Five.
Oh, they're on special this week, so we've got the word, five for 50. Actually, I don't think that's quite right, but my treasurer might not like that thought if we sold them for that cheap. Well, factoring in inflation, I've been told that maybe those two coins that the widow had might be more the equivalent to those $50 that we might have today. Quite a thought, hey? Those two coins might be worth the same as our $50 today. Well, what did she do? I need a helper here today because I've got my little people set up the front here today. And we've got the teachers of the law over here with their lovely long robes. You've got Jesus and his disciples watching what's happening at the temple. And you've got some rich people. And they've got their money. They've got lots of it. And I need a helper here. Georgia, would you come and be my helper here today? I need you to pretend that you're one of these rich people, first of all. And these rich people have come to the temple. And they're going to put a little bit of their riches into the temple offering. Can you do that for me today? One at a time. Drop them in there. One, two, three, four, five, six. We all saw that, didn't we? Maybe come up here on the step, and that way everyone can see if you don't mind. And then along comes this widow. Here she is. And she's got her two little coins. Can you show everyone those two little coins? They're very small. And she went and dropped them into the temple treasury too. Thank you. I wonder what the temple treasury is going to do with this money. Will they put it to good use to care for those who are in need? Or will they find other things to do with it? Well, sadly, according to what Jesus has to say, the temple leaders really didn't do very good with that money at all. The offerings are meant to care for the widows and the poor. But the temple officials were more focused on making themselves look important. And you notice how Jesus calls them out? He says, they devour widows' houses. What a thing to say. They devour widows' houses. I'm not going to say where I heard it, but I think I've heard similar sort of language not too long ago somewhere on the news. Devouring. Instead of using all those offerings to care for the widows, they make themselves look good. I must admit, as a church leader, this is not an easy text for me to take on board today. It's humbling for me to hear the reading, because I realise that the offerings that we gather here as a community, about half of them go to simply keeping me clothed and fed and watered. That's the nature of how we operate. And so I know that so much of our offerings that we collect as a church are to support the one who leads the community. In that same breath, I can't help but say thank you. Thank you for caring for my wife and I by providing us with a stipend so that I do not have to go out and find another job to work, but I can give my time solely to this task. But today's gospel reading challenges me to think about how much of my time and our time as a community is given for caring for those in need. How much time are we spending on caring for those in need? And how much time are we spending on other tasks? That's the challenge that this text speaks to me. The text may also be a challenge for you too. It may be a hard gospel for us to hear because Jesus is comparing these rich people who have so much wealth and this widow who now has nothing. The rich people give out of their abundance. The widow gives everything out of her poverty. It's so clear that we all have a different capacity that will shape and influence our giving. Now, as pastor, I must admit it's not very often I find myself preaching on the topic of money. It's not very often I find myself preaching on the topic of stewardship. But today's gospel reading leads each of us to ask questions like, why are we giving? Why would it even be good for us? What does our church budget look like? Who's benefiting from our budget? And what does outreach look like? And what might it mean for us to have a budget that honours both God and at the same time shows love to our neighbour? I find it fascinating also that this particular gospel reading comes up the day before our finance team meet to prepare a draft budget for 2025. What will guide our finance team as they prepare a draft budget for us to present next year? Will it be our focus on our mission and our sense that God will provide? Or will it be given in such a way that it simply reflects the costs of living for today? Of course, inflation will affect each of us in different ways. Of course, interest pressures will affect each of us in different ways. And all these things impact the way that you and I even think about money and use our money and steward our money. But I wonder today, what might God be able to do through our community if we too were to live out of our poverty? what might God be able to do through our community if we were to live out of our poverty? I'm not necessarily thinking financial poverty in this situation. I'm thinking of a different poverty. I'm thinking of the poverty that is caused by the fact that on our own, we are simply helpless sinners. We have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we know that that is not the end of the story. We are also all justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption that Christ Jesus has won for us. Hebrews 9 verse 28 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many and will bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. There's nothing that we can give or do to gain this gift of salvation. We are spiritually impoverished. But what a loving God we have who would show us such a gift of grace that he would say, you're mine. I'm going to care for you forever. And what would happen then if we took that attitude of recognizing we are loved by God and cared for him forever and then showed that with acts of thanksgiving and grace as we step out in faith and commit not just to giving the crumbs of our abundance, but are committed to giving all that we are to God for his service. You see, we are all in ministry. Each of you have your time, talents and resources, and what you choose to do with it during your weeks is a way that you can show thanks to God for his gifts of love to you. For us who have an abundance of time and talents and resources, I wonder how we can step out in faith and give in a way that grows our capacity to care and show love for the most needy through our personal lives and collectively as a congregation. This widow in our gospel reading, she trusted God. She doesn't need to covet what the next person has. She's trusting that God will provide. And so I share this challenging question with both yourself and myself. What's on our heart as we give? What is our motivation for giving? Is it truly out of thankfulness for the gifts that God has given to us? And who is the neighbours that we seek to help as we give our time, our talents and resources? Remember the first reading which Helen read for us today, the story of the widow of Zarephath? She was invited by Elijah the prophet to trust in God. And she does something that seems absolutely crazy to most rational people. She goes ahead and uses all her supplies simply to make that small loaf of bread for Elijah. It's crazy, but she does it. And to make matters worse, she's in the middle of a drought. Food's not going to come easy when you're in the middle of a drought. Yet she chooses to trust the promise of God, the promise that was shared through Elijah. And God does exactly what Marlene mentioned before. God provides. That jar of oil and that container of flour never ran out. Food remained there until the day when food could be harvested once again. Do you sense the incredible faith that this woman models for us? Friends, we live in a wealthy world, a wealthy part of the world. And wealth often gives us a false sense of security. But stories like these today about these two widows show us when we are willing to suffer with others, we discover that the person who is willing to suffer is often far more generous with their time, their talents and resources. When we find ourselves in control and feel that we have all that we need for ourselves to the point where there is more than we need, it is highly likely that we forget that we were once without anything. We all enter into this world with zero in our account. We were all once in poverty. And even if you find yourself at a stage in life, even if you are one of those here today who is in that stage of life, when you are experiencing poverty, a reading like this shows us that God is not done with you yet. He will see you through. Trust him. So friends, in this moment as we gather for worship, may we commit our time, our talents, our resources to the one who promises to care for us and provide for us, knowing that we have already experienced the joy of our salvation through the love and care that Jesus gives through his Spirit. And as I look across our congregation here today, I see so many of you who are giving your time, your talents, your resources. I see so many of you who volunteer in this community to make this community what it currently is. Not only are you giving of your financial wealth for the sake of supporting the work of the church, I see in so many of you examples of people who are giving their time. Time to volunteer, time to serve, time to care. I see that in our intergenerational ministries, our care ministries, our outreach ministries. And for this, I am truly grateful and give thanks to God for you. As we honour Jesus by listening to him, we're going to hear something that's really quite revolutionary. We will hear, first of all, that we are loved by God and that we are in his care forever. And we will also hear that our time and talents and resources are given to us by God. And they're given to us for our well-being, but also for the well-being of those we live with in community. As we continue to listen to Jesus, he does something in our hearts. He changes our hearts, that we will no longer think that we don't have enough for ourselves, but he will change our hearts to realize that we've got something special to give. As we listen to him, we will discover always God cares, and we can use in thanksgiving for his care our time, our talents and resources, confident that he cares for us, even if the world can't make sense of that. And so, knowing that our finance team will be meeting tomorrow night to prepare our budget for 2025, at least a draft proposed budget, I would love to give thanks for those who manage our finances and who pay the bills and organise all those matters. And I would like it if we were to pray for them now as the team meet tomorrow night. We pray for our team that they may create in faith a budget that may grow our capacity to love and care for the most vulnerable and enable all who gather here in worship to do so with joy. May we be a community that is equipped to honour Jesus in every aspect of our lives, listening to him, growing in his grace, stepping out in faith, reaching out with hope, speaking his peace, worshipping with joy, and serving with love. Father God, amongst us are both people who experience financial poverty and people who are abundantly wealthy. Among us are people who have many earthly years of living ahead of them, and others much less. We acknowledge before you that we all have different capacities to give. But Father, as we've heard today of this widow who stepped out in faith and gave all that she had to be, all that she had, be at work in our hearts, that we too may step out in faith and commit ourselves to your cause of living the gospel and being your vibrant, holy, loving and caring community of faith. Guide our finance team as they meet tomorrow night, that they may boldly step out in faith and share proposals that grow our capacity to care and love for those in our community, those that need the experience of your love and care through us. In Jesus' name, we hand all these things to you. Amen. And so, friends, may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen. I just want to take a moment at this point in our service to just spend a little bit of time with you talking through something that's been on the hearts of Amelia and myself for the last 4 weeks. 4 weeks ago, I received the news that the people of the Palmerston North Parish, of the Manawatu Parish, of Fielding and Palmerston North, had extended a call for Amelia and I to consider moving from here to New Zealand. Many of you have sensed how enticing the thought of adventure to go to New Zealand might be for people our age. And so discerning what to do with this call has not been an easy process. This week, through my time of listening to the text that we've had today, I found myself being inspired by the attitudes of those widows. They stepped out in faith and they committed themselves into God's care. The most crazy thing this week was coming to that point of realizing that the number one call that God has on all his people is to trust him, to be like these widows who simply trusted in him. And so I guess in conclusion to that call, this whole discernment time, I've come to realize how God gives his people agency. He gives us agency first by setting us free from our sin. And as he does so, he helps us learn about ourselves, also about who he is, so that we may be fully responsible for the choices that we make and the actions that we take. And so before I announce what I've done with this call, I want to let you know that the most important thing I've learnt this week is that God calls us to trust in him, that he will take care of us. The journey's been long, so I share with you the letter that I shared with the Manawatu Parish that they received yesterday and they will be sharing with their congregation today. Excuse me as I read this. On Sunday the 13th of October 2024, I received a phone call from Bishop Richard informing me that I had received the call to serve the Lord in New Zealand. Since then I have filled many hours with prayer, reflection and conversation concerning my time of ministry at Victor Harbour and the possibility of moving to New Zealand. I've considered both calls side by side, seeking God's guidance. I responded to your documents with many questions, I thank you for sharing answers to my many questions via the video calls. After that first interview, my interest to visit you to understand a little bit more about New Zealand culture and your parish grew. Unfortunately, for personal reasons, we were unable to make that trip. Still, your leaders invested time to ensure that Amelia and I were able to receive further photos, documents, and even a wonderful video preview of your worship, so that we could further imagine a future with you. Amelia and I were also grateful for a wonderful conversation we shared with your chairperson and your child, youth and family ministry worker. Alongside of all these conversations, I spoke to many other New Zealand connections. And through these conversations, we were able to further imagine ourselves serving with you. At the same time, your call gave us the opportunity to reflect deeply on the ministry foundations that have been built in Victor Harbour in our short 3 years and 9 months here to this point. Your call has challenged us to test our commitment to build on these foundations. And so through much conversation and prayerful reflection in these days, I have come to the conclusion that in as much as I feel I can and imagine and feel I could minister in the Manawatu Parish, our time of ministry at Victor Harbour Lutheran Church is not yet complete. Therefore, I humbly decline the call to serve in New Zealand at this time. I thank you for the opportunity to consider the call to serve with you, and I will continue to pray for you as you again seek God's guidance in the call process. God's full of surprises. Coming back from Synod, throwing a test our way to see whether our commitment was to deal with the challenges that were lying ahead of us here. And so I give thanks for the many ministry opportunities our eyes have been opened up to see during this time of discernment. I'd like to think that I can now see more clearly the amazing things that God is already doing in this community. And I simply want to partner with you and our Lord Jesus in continuing to do that work. And so after all that, I now find peace in choosing to say, we are together. If I had a rose, I'd give it to you. But it's not quite that, is it? So we can recommit today to the partnership that we share. And as an act of that commitment, there's something I'd love to do with you. I'd like to invite you into a very ancient practice. It's a practice that grew out of the devotional practices where in ancient times Christians would gather at certain hours during the day together for prayer. And at the end of the day, they celebrated a devotional service called Compline. And in this service, there's a simple little practice near the start of it, where the leader confesses to the congregation and the congregation replies. And then the congregation confesses to the leader and then the leader replies. And I would like to enter into that with you now as a way of reaffirming our commitment to work together as pastor and people. The Lord Almighty, grant us peace as we commit to serving the Lord together.
Amen.
Be alert, watch out. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. I confess to Almighty God, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by my own fault. Therefore, I beg you, pray to the Lord our God for me. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you for Jesus' sake, and forgive you all your sins, and bring you to eternal life. Amen. Restore us again, God our Saviour. Deliver us and be quick to help us. Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Spirit rain down, rain down, oh comforter and friend, how we need your touch again, Holy Spirit rain. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Spirit rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down.
The Lord our God is merciful. Let us pray to the Lord of all and ask his blessings on those in need. Father God, we thank you that you are the same yesterday and today, that you are sovereign, King of the universe and everything in it. We praise your name. Thank you that we can rely on you and your word. Help us to trust and obey it. Father, we ask that your church may be energised in the mission to reach out to others with the gospel, not only in our local communities, but within our nation and our world. We thank you that you have equipped us as individuals and collectively with the ability and means to be witnesses of your love and grace. Father, we ask that you encourage us to be light and salt in your world, not simply claiming to be Christian, but easily identified by the way we live. Send your Spirit among us, that we might grow in our understanding of being your hands and feet to our neighbours and those in need. We thank you that our country has social security, so that those in need may obtain assistance. Prick the consciences of those who abuse the system or attempt to rot it, including the providers of the NDIS. Convict them of their error so that the system may serve those in genuine need. Father, there are so many in the world in need of basic support. We thank you for the work of the international aid organisations, including the Australian Lutheran World Service. Give us hearts willing to support them and bless their efforts to provide for the needy. We know, Lord, that the poor, both in spirit and finance, are in your favour. Your word says that the religion that you accept as pure and faultless includes looking after orphans and widows. Help us live this out in our sphere of influence. Lord of the Church, help us to give willingly and generously. Provide us with the wisdom so that the offerings of the people are spent wisely in building your kingdom. Father, we pray for all those in governments, that you will develop in them hearts to serve their communities. Keep them humble so they focus on the task of serving and helping others rather than furthering their own ends. We pray that you may develop a merciful heart in President-elect Donald Trump, that he may lead the American people with compassion. Father, we ask that you raise up a willing team this Tuesday night to bring the Combined Churches Welcome Project to a positive start, that it may bear fruit in our expanding community. We also lift today's messy church before you. Bless all those in leadership roles as they prepare, deliver, and interact with attendees. Have your Spirit work in all those who attend, that their faith in you will continue to grow. We also lift to you the Victor Harbour Christmas pageant. Encourage those who you choose to participate in the combined churches float. May it be a successful witness in our community. We thank you for guiding Pastor Nigel and Amelia as they wrestled with the call to serve in Palmerston North. We thank you that you have led them to continue to serve amongst us. Give them peace in their decision and remove any doubts that should come and tug at them after they've made this decision. Continue to bless their work here. Help us to work with and support them, and guide the Palmerston North congregation as they continue to seek a pastor. Merciful God, help us to trust you with full assurance by placing our whole selves before you for your glory and your service through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Will you stand with me as together we pray the prayer Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that in this meal you open heaven to us and you show us your grace in this gift as you come and give your real presence to us. And so we remember your words, the words that keep being repeated, the words that continue to provide grace and love to us. For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's together trust that God provides all we need. Come and the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. I think we've got you covered. You've come from, file behind, help yourself to one of the individual cups as the person speaks the blessing to you. Return your cup to the tray before returning via the side aisles. Mm-hmm.
and soul. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. I will rise, go to Jesus, he will embrace me in his arms.
That leads this sinner home from death to life forever, and sings the song of righteousness by blood and not by merit. Your grace that reaches far and wide to every tribe and nation has called my heart to enter in the joy of your salvation. By grace I am redeemed, by grace I am restored, and now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. Your grace that I cannot explain, not by my earthly wisdom, the Prince of Life without a stain was traded for this sinner. By grace I am redeemed, by grace I am restored, and now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. Let praise rise up and overflow, my song resound forever. For grace will see me welcomed home to walk beside my Savior. By grace I am redeemed, by grace I am restored, and now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. Let praise please rise up and overflow. My song resound forever. For grace will see me welcomed home to walk beside my Savior. By grace I am redeemed. By grace I am restored. And now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. By grace I am redeemed, by grace I am restored. And now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. Let praise rise up and overflow. My song resound forever. For grace will see me welcomed home to walk beside my Savior. By grace I am redeemed. By grace I am restored. And now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. By grace I am redeemed. By grace I am restored. And now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord. By grace I am redeemed, by grace I am restored, and now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord.
And so may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Amen. I invite you to stand for our concluding words of committal. I put myself into your hands, Lord.
I put myself into your hands.
You have redeemed me, Lord, faithful God. Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Guide me like your own eye. Jesus, our treasure, how blessed are we, beyond all measure, that in this meal you give us the gift of forgiveness of all our sins. You have now blessed us to be a blessing to others. And as you have shown your love for us by serving us today, help us to serve those we meet in this coming week. In your name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is with you.
And also with you.
Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. Let's remain standing for our closing song.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say,
say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Surely we can give thanks. Thank you, Derek, for playing for us today. Thank you, Pastor Nigel, for your message and the message you gave us about staying here. Let us give praise and thank you. I'll be available for prayer if anyone would like prayer afterwards over that side. There is tea and coffee available and plenty of fellowship out there. Please stay and have some fellowship together. And there's a visitor's book on the welcome desk for visitors to sign, so we know that you visited us and we know who you are. Let me read this little send-out idea. God calls us to live in wholeness. God calls us to grow in community. God calls us to build justice. Let us go, called by God, in companionship with Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless your week. Thank you.
And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. For the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks.
The question is when they turn the mic off.